Benji.
Yeah?
My baby said his first words.
Oh, what were Benji's first words?
Da-da. Well, really, da-da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
But I'm counting it.
Yeah, sure. Does that make you... It's 3 for 3 for you.
3 for 3, baby. Now, look, in fairness, dada is much easier to say than mama for a little baby.
I have
baby.
Heard that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus, it's like a more natural like sound. Like,
yeah.
You know, because even if you're just like babbling, blah, 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 like you're more likely to land on da than ma.
Yeah. So. And I think I've even read that babies
love their fathers more.
Yeah, that's it. They love me more, at least. Yeah. No, that they have a hard time differentiating themselves between baby and mama as two different individuals.
Yeah, so they're so enmeshed with mama.
That well, they've heard mama's voice in their heads since, you know, the first time they heard voices in their heads.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so, but I'm a completely separate individual for sure.
So mama's basically like God to them. Like, it's the only voice they've ever known.
Maybe.
And you're just like some weird being off the side.
But hey, said this weird dude's name first.
There you go.
Yeah. And I'll take it.
Take that, Jesus. Oh, wait. That's not right.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me as always, Pastor Dave Bazar.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Noah Lise McCarter.
None. Get out of here with
in
that.
In France.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
No. Allegedly. Where even is France?
Are you in France right now? Yeah, can you do you see her? I don't know. We need some proof. Some French
where
proof.
Where in the world is Elise McCarter?
It's a good little.
Yeah.
I love Carmen Sandiego.
It's great.
Yeah. All right. We got like a war or something. By the time this comes out, there may be World War III.
There may not be. Yesterday it was over.
But then it started
back up again.
It started again last night.
It's hard to say.
I don't know if you saw, but it started.
Don't worry. I saw. I've been watching.
It's back. And by yesterday, we meant Monday night, June 23rd, it was over. But
allegedly.
By Tuesday morning, June 24th, back up again.
Yeah. It's been.
So who knows? Between now and the time of release. Truly, anything is possible.
Yeah. I do remember once upon a time when it was kind of comical that President or then President Bush stood on an aircraft carrier with mission accomplished behind him while we were like still in Iraq and lots of stuff was going wrong and like there was no reason to think that any sort of mission had been accomplished.
Yeah.
I did not realize that could be trumped, so to speak, by a tweet that was sent out declaring the end of a war that had not yet ended with a ceasefire agreement that may or may not have been agreed to, but just got tweeted into the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love, great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also love the,
if there weren't lives at stake, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah. That's fair. I love that. Yeah. We bombed Iran, but now is the time for peace.
Absolutely.
Like, you know,
obviously we did our thing. Now everybody.
Yeah. We got to bomb you.
Yeah. I get to hit you and then you have to sit there and take it.
Yeah. Awesome. Just great. Great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of great stuff, let's talk about the Crusades.
Oh, okay. Coming in hot.
All right.
New news about the Crusades?
How do Americans feel about the Crusades?
Probably better than I want to imagine them.
That is true. So, okay. We got some polling going on here.
Yeah.
How favorable is your view of blank, basically?
Okay.
And this is all Middle Ages.
Okay. Okay. Oh, things from the Middle Ages, not Middle Aged people that we're asking.
Things from the Middle Ages, yeah, okay. Not the Middle Aged people.
All right,
how do boomers feel about this?
Am I guessing percentages? Is that the goal?
We're going to walk it down.
Okay.
All right. So these are the highest, and I'll walk down to the lowest. Highest, number one, things from the Middle Ages, castles.
We love castles.
We're pro castles.
I get that. I'm pro castles.
75% pro castles.
If castles were more energy efficient, I'd live in a castle. It'd be great.
I love a castle. Yeah. I'm all on board with a castle.
Yeah.
They're great. Now, you know. Historically speaking, whatever. You can tell me anything, and I'm sure it's right.
Yeah.
But the idea of a castle is awesome.
Yeah. For me, my enjoyment of the Middle Ages, I think, drops off pretty steeply after castles. I don't know what else is going to be on your list, but I feel like I have a considerably less appreciation for anything else. Yeah,
75% is maybe even low. Because I'd be like, if I was going somewhere, and they'd be like, and you're going to stay in a castle?
I'm in.
I'd be like, ooh.
Yeah, game on.
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Second, chivalry.
Oh.
63%.
I mean, I'm not opposed to chivalry, but not like medieval chivalry. That's weird.
Yeah, that's like a bunch of rules. I mean, like, I think chivalry is good.
Yeah, you should be polite to people.
I am pro politeness and kindness. And, you know, I know it's like, you know, definitely some gender-based politeness and kindness. Sure. But I'm still,
we can have chivalry for a modern
holding
era.
Holding doors open, I'm pro.
Yeah, regardless of who's behind me.
Waving to cars.
Regardless of who's behind me.
If they let me in. Is that chivalry? Maybe. Yeah,
sure.
Maybe.
I'm going to count it.
If you're a knight on a horse and another horse lets you in, yeah, you got to give a wave.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you got to give a courtesy wave.
That's how handshakes started, was to show that you weren't holding your sword. You held out your hand to shake their hand.
Sure. Okay. maybe. Well, all right. Next couple. Gothic architecture, monasteries.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Gothic architecture. Okay, sure. I can get that. But monasteries, meh.
Take or leave it.
Yeah.
Vikings.
Oh, okay. We're counting Vikings in the Middle Age.
51% pro Vikings.
I don't know about pro Viking. I'm interested in Vikings, but I don't like want the Vikings to come back.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
I don't even want the Vikings football team to come back.
Sure. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, they're very... A lot of pillaging for the Vikings,
yeah.
And some other words that you can attach to this. But we'll just stay with a lot of pillaging happening. Yeah. Not pro-pillage.
I'm
anti the pillage.
Anti-pillaging, sure.
I guess, you know, you're more on favor if you're the one doing the pillaging.
Sure, yeah.
All right, here we're starting getting lower now. Gregorian chants, 36% favorable. This
really?
Is too high.
That's too many people that like Gregorian chants.
This should be bottom of the list.
Yeah. It's not even words. It's
what's there to like?
It's not a thing.
Like trust me, even after these other ones, you're like, this is worse.
I have a greater than average appreciation for like hymnody and, you know, churchy music. Gregorian chants straight out. get rid of that.
The Crusades, 32%. I'm going to say Gregorian charge should be below the Crusades.
Yeah. I mean, Crusades should not be at 32% either, but Gregorian chant should definitely not
be at zero.
Like, we should all say, like, okay, Crusades were bad. Like, we should all just be able
Absolutely.
To say we're not pro-Crusades. Again, maybe interesting to study, but we should all be able to say it was bad.
I think the pro of Crusades is more of the pro of, like, Middle Ages, like, warfare with, like, catapults and...
Yeah, you got that.
And
trebuchets.
Trebuchets, yeah. And, like... swords and flails and spears is all interesting. Like, that's interesting stuff. And a lot of, like, modern, like, fantasy, like, kind of just, like, takes place with those types
Around
of
that,
things.
Yeah.
So those things are cool.
Yeah, and interesting.
The Crusades themselves, not that
not,
cool.
Not great.
But at
not,
least, like, you could say, like, okay, tangentially, I could get down with, like, knights are kind of cool.
Yeah.
But.
Agreed. Knights are cool. Yeah.
All right.
But the, you know, murder thing, not great.
Inquisition, 16%.
I'm going to hope that maybe that 16% just didn't know what the Inquisition was. And maybe they were thinking of that scene from History of the World, Part 2, where they're just like, oh, yeah, the Inquisition. That was great.
Or nobody suspects the Spanish Inquisition.
Right, yeah, that one too. Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah, and then the Hundred Years' War is at 13%. I don't even know what it really is, but it sounds awful.
It didn't last 100 years.
But that's a long time to war.
Well, it didn't last 100. It was less than that. But yeah, it's not good.
They're exaggerating.
Yeah.
Black
Plague. It's called the 100 years.
Black Plague, 9%. That's
what?
That's the 9%
bottom. 9% of people are pro-plague?
I know. Like, this one, I'm like, what is there to be excited about? Besides, like, the doctors
the
with those raven masks.
Oh, sure. The raven masks were
which
cool.
I'm pro. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, again, pro-raven mask.
But the Black Plague itself, 9%. Still, Gregorian charge should be below. Like, I'm just saying. There's not even a raven mask.
How did the plague not beat out at least Gregorian chant? Come on.
Yeah.
I guess you could chant with the raven mask.
Probably. I think they have like a little like rag sucked in like soaked in ether
Probably.
Shoved into the nose of the raven mask.
That's like so to like protect like, yourself, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess like, hey, this person's got the plague. What do we do? Leeches. You know, like
let's try it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right, there you go. That's the US, how we feel favorably about the Middle Ages things.
So my college alma mater, were the Capital Crusaders when I was there.
Okay.
That was our mascot.
Yeah.
There was routinely a petition to try to change our mascot. It was usually a joke, and it wanted to change it to Capital Punishment. They wanted that to be the name, which was, you know, silly and fun. But they actually did change it, like, for real, to the Capital Commons, because they decided that we should not be pro-Crusade.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
We should maybe be less about the Crusade.
That's fair. A lot of, like, the, you know, Christian universities, Crusader is kind of a tag-in.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
maybe we should steer
should
away from
really
this
what
one.
What we should be most proud of.
Yeah, maybe we should not be... hanging our hat on destroying the Holy Land and other people that were there.
Yeah. That's true. We were the tornadoes, so I don't know how I feel about that one either. So.
I mean, at least it's like a natural disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it still kills a bunch of people.
That's fair.
But, you know, like, hey, it's God's fault. Yes.
Was that up or down from your high school mascot that was, you know, of the Confederacy?
Yeah, my high school was the Robert E. Lee Rebels that changed to the Volunteers.
Oh, the Volunteers. Okay, so you're not a rebel, you're just a volunteer.
Yeah, and I was like, look, if you're going to do all this anyway, Rebels is at least cool.
Right.
like that's
maybe
at least...
Robert E. Lee was a bigger problem than Rebel.
Yeah, like the Rebels word is a cooler word than the Volunteers.
Right.
You know, like...
Maybe so, we focused on the wrong part of this name change.
Oh, did I tell you they changed it from Robert E. Lee?
Oh, what is it now?
It's Lee, Legacy of Excellence in Education.
Oh, they made it into an acronym?
Correct.
Oh, God.
So awful. Like, now everybody's mad, right?
Yeah.
Nobody likes it.
Yeah. But, well, I guess there's something there.
All right, let's talk about Iran. How do you feel about that?
That was a great transition.
Okay, so...
In the past week...
And again, we don't know. We are having to pre-record this, so of the 5 days before this, a lot of things could happen. But as of right now...
Which is Tuesday.
Yeah,
June 24th.
Okay, so Iran... And Israel had a conflict.
They did.
You can say whomever is at fault, whatever.
They had a conflict.
They had a conflict. The United States bombed parts of Iran.
Yes. Three nuclear facilities.
Yeah. With the claim that they're developing nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Some of our intelligence agencies are saying they were not.
Yep.
Some of our allies are saying they were not.
Great.
But we said they were.
Right.
And we bombed them.
Yes. Did using technology that only we have that has never been deployed in the field before.
Sure. Then we declared one victory and two peace.
Right.
And then Israel and Iran maybe agreed to a peace treaty, ceasefire.
Hard to say.
And then immediately broke it.
Yes.
Both sides.
Those are the facts as best as we have them as of this time of recording.
Correct.
By the time we're done recording, who knows?
Now, we are not a political podcast. We are certainly not a war in the Middle East podcast. We don't know anything.
That's not even going to be a fun spinoff for us.
I gave you the most, the what I know.
The Crusades. That was it.
I know more about that than what's going on over
there. There were trebuchets. Did they use trebuchets in this? Is that how they're still fighting? I don't know.
Yeah. But there were some interesting statements.
Yes.
That came out of this. Mm-hmm. And one, I have an article here from Russell Moore.
Ooh, we've used him before.
Yes, from Christianity Today. But before we get into this, there was some interesting statements made by Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
All right. Our own senator.
Our own senator arguing with Tucker Carlson. And let me tell you, who am I rooting for?
I do remember watching clips of that interview and thinking to myself, how did I end up on Tucker Carlson's side?
It is odd. It is kind of bizarre that I'm like, I think he's right. I think he's saying some good stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the interview.
Yeah, okay.
Ted Cruz argues that the United States needs to be on the side of Israel.
Okay.
Not because of some things I've heard in the past, like they're a democracy and we're a democracy.
Political alliances.
They are closer to our Western values.
Yep, sure.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But that
flawed arguments, all of them, but at least.
Yeah, maybe not great arguments.
At least political.
I've heard those arguments.
I have
to. But he argued that we need to be on the side of Israel because in Genesis, God makes a promise to Abraham that whoever blesses his people will be blessed, and whoever curses his people will be cursed. And so the United States better be on Israel's side so we can receive the blessings of God. What do you think about this?
Okay, so let's go to the source here. Source material, Genesis chapter 12 is what we're talking about. This is God's initial promise to Abraham. God does make what we sometimes refer to as the threefold promise, where Abraham is going to be given a land to live in, which is ostensibly the region of the country now known, or region of the world, excuse me, now known as Israel. Mm-hmm. God is going to bless Abraham, which we'll talk about, and God is going to give an offspring, right? And so Abraham's offspring is going to be later, God redefines it and says as numerous as the stars. So it comes in a later chapter. So the blessing part is really interesting in part because God's distinction, as God specifies, you know, your offspring is going to be as numerous as the stars later, specifies the blessing that you are going to be blessed to be a blessing. Right. Yeah. And so, I'm going to bless you so that you are a blessing to others so that through you, all the world would know my name. This is not a direct quote. This is my kind of interpretation, right? And so, that definitely does happen. God does say, I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. My sense, as both a pastor and as an American and as a podcast host, is that Ted Cruz is perhaps grossly taking this particular statement out of its context.
Yeah.
and perhaps we should not be making political alliances and wartime decisions based on this passage from Genesis. I do think we should think about ways in which we're blessing God's people and caring for God's people. I don't think that that means we need to bomb other people.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I don't think that it's talking about Israel as a country today. We can get into that too. But I think that's different.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things here. This is a long list. Sorry.
This is a bizarre.
Yes.
Theology. I'll say that. But I will say this. I don't think Ted Cruz is off on some weirdo island by himself shouting this to the ether or that.
No, there's plenty of people on that island with him.
There's a lot of Christians, mm-hmm. American Christians, who have the same point of view.
Yes.
We have to be an ally of Israel.
Yes.
For two reasons. One, the United States is blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And two, which we'll get into in a second,
it
is because of the coming apocalypse.
Right. Because we need to bring about, usher in the new realm.
Got to get this apocalypse going.
Yeah.
It's been...
And I will say, of those two, the one that Ted Cruz landed on in this particular interview of, we need to bless Israel so that we can receive a blessing, is the least cringy of the two options.
They're
right?
Both nutters.
They
to
are I do not disagree. But they both beat Gregorian chant.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I live on that island over in Gregorian chant island. Yeah.
Yeah. But I okay, at least you're well, we're going to be blessed out of this as opposed to we're bringing about the apocalypse. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
both cringy.
Obviously, theologically,
we got some issues.
I will say this. In the Bible,
mm-hmm.
plenty of times, Israel is attacked by other people with the blessing of God on the attacker's side.
Yeah.
Like plenty of times, including right away.
Yes.
Within four generations of Abraham, they're gone from that place.
Yeah.
They're no longer there. And they don't come back for 300 years later. And that's Bible years. Who knows how much, real years.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
Generations, yeah.
But we have multiple times where they're attacked by outsiders, one as a divine punishment,
mm-hmm.
or as a awakening
mm-hmm.
To their sins that they're committing.
Yeah.
Israel is not, this... You read the Bible. Israel is not some blameless little lamb surrounded by wolves.
Yeah.
They are can be just as vicious and mm-hmm. just as awful as their surrounding neighbors, if not more so sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, even Babylon, right? We get prophets who talk about the coming of Babylon saying this is God ordained. This is God's lifted up this ruler to mm-hmm. come and to bring about God's justice upon you and you're going to be exiled. That's the promise.
Yeah.
It's the prophecy that's being brought there. Exile, interestingly, to modern-day Iraq/Iran.
Yeah.
That would be the part of the world that they were taken to. Anyway.
100%. So, and then the Bible, the Old Testament shifts into the New Testament, and the
mm-hmm.
New Testament theology
mm-hmm.
rightfully shifts. We're no longer looking at Israel mm-hmm. as the people of God, but Christians as the people of God. This is these new... covenant that we've kind of pivoted a little from what Abraham was going on, and the new people are followers of Jesus, and they're the ones bringing the message of God into the world that looks a little differently than what Israel had, but we're tracing all the way back to Genesis. So if you do think, okay, that happened for Abraham, a natural thought progression would mm-hmm. be it ended with Jesus,
right?
Even if that's what you're 100% in, that just makes sense. At no point in the New Testament does it reaffirm
mm-mm.
that's how things are supposed to go.
Yeah.
In fact, it deaffirms all of that. That's no longer the case.
Yeah. Jesus comes to fulfill the law. Paul talks about how the law no longer applies to us, right? All of these things are showing that this deaffirms the old promise is what it was, and it has been fulfilled, and it lives into a new thing right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Israel, by around 700 mm-hmm. or 70-ish A.D., is gone.
Destroyed, yeah.
Yeah, scattered.
The temple, at least,
The temple is scattered. The people are, maybe they're still living there, but, mm-hmm. as a nation state or, an occupied state, it's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't talk about it anymore until...
Crusades.
Until the Crusades, but we got to go win it back.
Right.
And failed.
Yeah, multiple times.
But let's try again. Yes. And, still, hey,
Yeah.
Better than Gregorians. Chance.
Right. There are, like, when you visit Israel and Jerusalem and stuff, there are churches that have doors that are really short so that you can't ride into them on a horse. Like, you have to get off your horse and walk in on foot.
Yeah.
And it was because of the Crusades that they did that.
Okay. Yeah, and then Israel as the current country, what, 1960s?
40s, 50s, I think is what it was.
40s, 50s, yeah. Somewhere in there. Yeah.
Post-World War II.
Yeah, so is this country of Israel even the same Israel? I mean, they say the same name.
Yeah.
Like, beyond that, I don't know, right?
It's a reasonable question. Yeah.
Not, you know, again.
It's not the Israel of Abraham.
It is not
that's
that.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, theologically, I don't see how this could make any kind of sense. And that is some rough stuff.
Yeah. I think that is what's most infuriating to me about that particular interview with Ted Cruz, right, is that the senator could make any number of political arguments as to why he feels like we should be standing with Israel and attacking Iran. Right? He could do that, right? Yeah. And we could disagree or agree on those arguments. But he brought in this just ridiculous theology that puts all sorts of weight on something that I just don't think holds bar. I just don't think it's going to stand up to any sort of real scrutiny. I don't even see how you get to, blessing them means we have to bomb another country. Like, I don't even see how that arrives at the same conclusion. I don't get that.
100%. I think this is, for my mind, I want to support Israel.
Yeah.
Let me find theological reasons to back that up.
Mm-hmm.
And let me then point to the theological reasons and say, that's why I need to swear. So it's working backwards, but pretending that it started from scripture.
Sure.
That is my interpretation of that theology. And I think it's wrong. So the other part of this is the other reason why we need to side with Israel.
Yeah.
And this is another thing that lots of American Christians have. And that's to bring about the apocalypse.
Yeah, this was really big. I mean, it started even earlier than this, but it was really big in the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
What was his name? Falwell, I think was who it was, and others, right? They were really, became like super, the conservative right became super pro-Israel because they said, hey, if we can be pro-Israel, Israel can regain control, then we can rebuild the temple, and rebuilding the temple is the thing that has to happen in order for the Messiah, or in order for Jesus to come back.
Yeah.
Final time. Jesus can't come back until the temple's rebuilt. And so we have to support Israel so they can rebuild the temple so that we can, which is just a weird bedfellow to say, like, oh, well, we have to support Israel so that they can build us a temple so that our Christian Jesus can come back and destroy them. I don't even know what the end result is here.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, agreed. This is definitely like, we're not actually really for Israel. We're for
right.
The apocalypse.
Yes.
And this is a means to an end.
Yeah.
Like, so we have to do this to
apocalypse
bring it
just above Gregorian chant. Just
absolutely.
Still just
for
above.
Sure. For sure. Yeah. Polling out of 100, 1 for apocalypse,
right.
0 for Gregorian
there
chant.
You go.
Yeah. All right. This is from Russell Moore.
Okay.
And his article in Christianity Today is called Don't Blame Bible Prophecy for a War with Iran. And I'm with him.
Yeah. There you go.
After Israel's recent bombing of Iran, a friend told me about a preacher who asserted that Russia might be the Gog and Magog of the Book of Ezekiel, and that Iran might be one of the hostile nations pictured by the prophets, and all of that is just might be pointing towards the imminence of the literal apocalypse. And he says, are we going to do this again?
Russia might be the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel?
Yes.
Okay.
He's both. Yeah, Gog and Magog. It's pretty exciting. Yeah,
like, I just...
Oh, yeah, they're the bad guys. We're going to sell the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not even easy. Like, you have to do so many gymnastics. You got to be really limber to pull this off. But, like, there's so many ways in which you can read scripture and make it apply to anything when you start doing that, right?
Yeah.
There's this great scene in Parks and Recreation when they have this group that's known for bringing about the end of or wanting the end of the world to come, kind of like a mockery of Scientology. That's kind of how they're set up. And they come and saying, oh, the end of the world's going to happen on this date, and then it doesn't happen. So they come back in the next week and like, oh, we recalculated and we reread this thing, and now it's going to be this day. And she comes back and says, we have an ice cream social. The park is booked. Oh, what about the next day? And like, there's just so many ways in which you can do the exact same thing with scripture. Like, if you're looking for a reason to say this is so and so, you can find it. But that's not how scripture was intended to be read, and it's not what it was written for. It's not faithful to the process or to the spirit or to any of the things that are happening.
Yeah. you know, Russell Moore says that by this he meant, you know, tying the prophecy charts to contemporary geopolitics that, you know, mm-hmm. That's going to ultimately leave audiences hyped up or terrified and then exhausted and even cynical.
Yeah.
And I agree with all those things. I think for some people, they're going to be hyped. I think some people are terrified, but ultimately it will leave you exhausted and cynical.
I am that. Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. But I think even the people that are hyped or terrified who are like the audience, mm-hmm. we're not the audience. For
no,
this
we're
stuff.
Not. Yeah.
You know, he mentions like, hey, look, this stuff doesn't kind of skip a generation, like, right? You mentioned like the 70s and 80s mm-hmm, was big mm-hmm. because we built the temple. Here's everything's going to come. And then nothing happens, right? Like,
well, they haven't built the temple yet. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, it didn't work. Right. Or like the Iron Curtain falls and like mm-hmm, nothing changes mm-hmm. really according to the apocalypse. And so the next generation is like, well, we heard all that.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. No, why would I believe in it again?
Mm-hmm.
But now we've got enough distance that I think a new group is coming back in and like looking for, there's war in the Middle East. Shocker.
Yeah.
Who knew that was a possibility? And saying,
yeah,
apocalypse.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have heard in my lifetime that Saddam Hussein was the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Barack Obama is the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Donald Trump is the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Russia is the Antichrist.
Yep, whole country.
These are things that I've just heard in my lifetime.
And you're not even somebody who like flies in those circles.
No.
I would assume you're not hearing these
also,
at Lord of Life. So
the internet is the Antichrist.
Sure.
So,
yep.
Like, you know, like mm-hmm. that itself is an Antichrist. So credit cards are the Antichrist. These are all things that I have heard from Christians. None of them.
Mm-hmm.
have been the Antichrist. Like, maybe jury's still out on Donald Trump or, you know, or Russia. You know, they still got
and
some
credit cards, frankly, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Like, Gregorian chant. That's on the list, yeah.
Gregorian chants are the Antichrist. I'm like,
I'm interested. What do you got?
let me give you my email. Send me the newsletter. Yeah, this is crazy town. Again, like, now the world very well could be ending tomorrow.
Sure.
Or before this podcast even releases.
Best case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. So nobody has to listen to this nonsense. But that is very much on the table.
Yeah.
And even like from a Christian point of view, not even like, hey, nuclear war could just strike out at any moment. But from a Christian point of view, yeah, I believe that in a second coming or a reunion mm-hmm. between heaven and earth could happen at truly any moment.
Yep.
That is a very real possibility. But to point to everything that's happening constantly as this is proof that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it works that way.
Yeah.
But why? Why are people into this? What do you think?
Why are people? So I think people want certainty in a realm of our faith that calls for just that. That calls for faith, right? It calls for uncertainty and a lack of clarity, but we don't like that. We want to know this is it. And we're, you know, you've said this before, we're the heroes of our own story. So if I'm living through a particularly tragic time, this must be it. This must be the one that Jesus appointed. It can't possibly be exactly the same thing that they went through 50 years ago or 100 years ago, even though in many ways it is, right? Like, we're always the greatest story of our greatest character in our own story. So I think that plays a part of it. I think there is certainty that says, oh, well, I know what nobody else knows. I know the right answer. I know the right timing. And there's something to say, like, I know how to be faithful to get out of it.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing.
I'm going to be good.
Right. I'm going to be good. I think that's the thing that people who bring this about always forget about the story of Revelation in particular. In the story of Revelation, there is no rapture, right? That's a one verse from 2 Thessalonians where we developed this whole thing about rapture. In the story of Revelation, everybody's in it. Yeah. Nobody gets out, right? The faithful remain faithful in the midst of it, right? And so it's not like, oh, if I help usher this in, then I'm going to get a pass and I'm going to get lifted up before it all happens. No, no, no. If you usher this in, you're going to be a part of it too. And you're going to have to be, you're going to be tested. And are you going to be faithful in the midst of it? And I think we forget that part of the story, which is not to say that I don't want Jesus to come back, right? I want the reunification of heaven and earth to happen. I want that to be a thing that takes place. It would be incredible for it to be. But it's also, according to scripture, we're going to have to go through a lot to get there. And it's going to be, are we going to remain faithful in the midst of that? Are we going to be able to look at the possibility of a war with Iran or a war between Iran and Israel and say, you know what, God is still king? Mm-hmm. Right? Are we going to be able to look at suffering and hurt and heartbreak in our own life and in the world and say, God is still king? Mm-hmm. Right? Those are the questions that we should be wrestling with. Not, can I bring about the apocalypse? But hey, when suffering and pain and heartbreak and violence and war and all of this stuff rip out around me, how am I remembering that God and Jesus are king and making that reality in the life of myself and the people around me?
Yeah. Yeah, I think... Well, I'll tell you what Russ Moore thinks about why people are excited.
Let's
about
hear
this stuff.
What's Russ got?
Yeah. So he writes this. The protagonist, Will Barrett, in Percy's novel, The Last Gentleman, reflects on how happy his father was when he remembered Pearl Harbor. It was not that his father was a sadist or a... Masochist. There we go. Yeah. But when he thought about Pearl Harbor, he would suddenly have purpose and life. Mm. War is better than Monday morning. And I think that like the idea of like what's happening is the worst thing, but it's leading to the best thing exciting. And I'm a part of it. I get to see, this is the story and I'm living into it is an exciting thing. It's more exciting than some bombs were dropped and it's ultimately meaningless.
Yeah.
Like, or how is the kingdom coming about? Not in major geopolitical warfare and navigation, but in loving my neighbor, serving those who are the least of these in my community. Mm-hmm. That is not exciting. Like, I want to be looking for the big signs, and then I'm a part of this giant story because that is better than the mundaneness of life.
Yeah.
Like, and that is what feels like the killer. Not bombs, but boringness.
Yeah.
And this is not boring. It's exciting. Mm. Now, the problem is...
Just one?
I'm willing to guess that in a few years, there will be no apocalypse. Jesus did not come back. These were not signs of the end times. There was no Gog or Magog. There was no prophet, you know, things like that. And we will be left even worse off than now. Like the people who are buying in will ultimately be left either cynical and dejected or more likely maybe they're... The next thing will just be the new thing, right? Like they're just like latching on. Like they're just a leaf on the wind blown by whatever geopolitical war or things like that. Like that's the new apocalypse. Yeah. We were wrong before, but trust me, we're right now.
Yeah. And that is the part that always fascinates me about this, because for me, it just does not make sense I see it as being deceived, right? To be deceived over and over, to hear your leader, to hear the person that you're listening to and following, to hear them say, this is it, this is it, this is it. And for it to continue to not happen. Like, I don't know. Are they getting new people every time? Are the same people coming around? I don't know how this works. It just does not make sense to me. Because, if I get up on a Sunday morning and I say something about what's going to happen, I don't make predictions of what's going to happen that next week. Right, because that's not how I think I work. It's not how God works. But I do make a sense of like this is how we see God present in the world around us, and that's a story that we can latch onto at any time and any place, right? Because we do see those things, and it's not about predicting how God is going to be there in 50 years. It's about seeing how God is with us right now in this moment, bringing about the kingdom of God in our presence.
100%, yeah. Like, I don't know if this is actually Martin Luther or if it's like fake quote.
I love fake quotes. What do you
got? I think he's got a couple of fake quotes out there.
He does,
I think a thing, somebody asked him like, what would you do if today was the last day?
Yeah. I love
and
this one.
And he said, I would plant a tree.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was planning to do anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, and that's like, if every day I'm living, like advancing the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter what the last second is.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to rush or get it all in at the last minute, like I'm cramming for a test.
Yeah.
Because every day I'm advancing the kingdom of God, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know if that's true.
It's at least attributed to him. It's widely attributed to him. Yeah. And it's a good sentiment. So whoever did say it, I think it's a good thing to say. And I think there too, right? Like the purpose is not necessarily that planting the tree is the thing that you're supposed to run out and do. Yeah. If the kingdom of God is coming.
Oh my gosh, bombs dropping.
Get a tree.
Get those trees planted, everybody.
Right, no, the point is, like, I'm going to continue pursuing God as I am right now.
Yeah.
And so if you're pursuing God by laying on your couch and eating Cheetos and playing video games, you should probably be doing something else. But if that's...
I think more like, I've lived my life in pursuit of God. Yes, exactly. So why does anything need to change right now?
Exactly.
Nothing should be changing because I've already done the work. I'm already doing it.
Yes.
Like, and I...
You shouldn't have to do anything differently than you are right now if God is coming back tomorrow.
All right. So Russell Moore will end here.
Okay.
I mean, we can kind of wrap this up. Because, I mean, again...
Who knows?
We're not here to say, like, was the United States right in bombing Iran? I have no idea.
No idea.
Are there other solutions that could have been explored? I have no idea. Yeah. Like, that's not our podcast. That's not what we're about.
But we can say pretty confidently that Ted Cruz should not have invoked this particular theology.
That for sure. Nor should Christians be pointing to these things and saying, this is obviously a sign of the end times.
Yeah.
This is obviously getting us closer to the apocalypse, which I guess technically, yes, we are closer.
Touche.
But, like... Are we in the last days? Sure. Yeah. Everything from the empty tomb onwards is the last days, you know, and could Jesus return at any moment?
Yep.
100%. But can we track that coming based on bomb drops?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But we should be living as though Jesus is coming back. And that means living a godly life in pursuit of the kingdom of God. That's the prophecy chart we need.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus is with us. He's with us now. He's with us at the end. And that's what matters.
Amen.
And we can debate the the logistics of bomb drops
or
the righteousness of this conflict or war.
Absolutely.
You know, but what really matters is for us here in America, us Christians, that Jesus is in control.
Yeah.
And that's gonna happen. That's gonna take place regardless of what is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for putting up with this one. I think this was good. We'll see if it even matters by the time we get to Monday.
That is true.
Hopefully
better than a Gregorian chant.
Yeah, that's right. One notch above Gregorian chant on Sunday.
That's the reviews we're looking for. Slightly better than Gregorian chanting. If you had to choose,
that's right.
Could do worse. Could be Gregorian chant. Yes.
If you liked this episode, send Patrick all of your favorite Gregorian chant songs, and you can send that to pnazaroff@lolonline.org. You can find all of your Beyond Sunday episodes at Beyond Sunday Podcast.
The good news is Nazaroff is not the easiest.
They'll probably double the wrong thing or something.
Yeah. Good luck. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.